This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, October 30th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Where wolf projects are made, driving a stake in the heart of a CAFO ban, monster beetles, and biofuel grants awarded. State taps UC Berkeley to lead wolf project. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife is partnering with UC Berkeley researchers on a wolf task force to inform policy decisions. The California Wolf Project aims to better understand the social and ecological factors shaping populations. A team of experts in ecology, sociology, and economics, as well as environmental policy, will lead the effort. The project will gather data and help develop conflict reduction strategies for rural communities and livestock producers. Arthur Middleton, a professor in wildlife management and co-lead on the project, said the return of wolves to California raises, quote, a lot of questions about where they fit amongst a rapidly changing landscape. It presents new challenges for agencies and ranchers alike. Now, on that note, CDFW is once again taking grant applications for ranchers who have lost livestock to wolves. Heavy lobbying from the agriculture industry led the legislature to allocate $600,000 to keep the Wolf Livestock Compensation Program alive this year, that despite a belt tightening to rein in the state deficit. A previous allotment of $3 million quickly dried up earlier this year. Given the limited funding, CDFW is not compensating for non-lethal deterrence or for impacts related to the presence of wolves near livestock. The California Cattlemen's Association hopes to secure federal funding for those needs. Lawmakers have also thrown a lifeline to Farmer. You can read about updates to the equipment trade-in program in the AgriPulse West newsletter hitting inboxes this morning. Western United Dairy's CEO discusses CAFO ban. Anja Radaha, Western United Dairy CEO, joined this week's episode of the Seen and Heard podcast to discuss the Sonoma United campaign to defeat Measure J, the local act to end concentrated animal feeding operations in Sonoma County. Sonoma United is a political action group led by WUD. It was launched in reaction to the CAFO ban and is currently coordinating with other No on J groups and farmers. I think there's an assumption that Californians tend to know the difference, and they certainly don't, Rodova said, adding that Sonoma County has a very consistent voter turnout. The Yes on J campaign is being funded in part by interest groups outside the impacted region. Rodova hopes to defeat the measure by more than 20 points to dry up that funding base and ensure it wouldn't qualify anywhere in the valley. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. This is AgriPulse Daybreak West. APHIS approves new genetically modified plant varieties. USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service has cleared genetically modified corn, almond, and tomato varieties for sale in the U.S. The agency has determined a corn variety developed by Green Lab, Inc. that produces an enzyme to degrade cellulose and is resistant to the herbicide glufosinate is unlikely to pose an increased pest risk compared to other plants. It also cleared an almond intended by Halo Genetics to be less reliant on pollinators and more efficient to harvest. The agency also approved a tomato developed by Norfolk Plant Sciences, which was genetically engineered for color and nutritional reasons. Biden administration awards grants to increase domestic biofuel access. USDA has awarded $39 million in grants to fueling station and distribution owners and other businesses to support the availability of affordable domestic biofuels. The grants come from the Higher Blends Infrastructure Incentive Program and the Bio-Based Market Access and Development Program, which utilize funding from the Commodity Credit Corporation and Inflation Reduction Act. Grants from the Higher Blends Infrastructure Program help owners of fueling stations and marine, rail, and home heating oil facilities install and upgrade infrastructure to support biofuels. These could include fuel pumps, dispensers, and storage tanks. The grants will go to 39 projects in 18 states, including California, Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Texas, and more. The agency will also use $200 million in previously transferred CCC funds to create the Bio-Based Product Market Development and Access Grant Program. The goal is to support bio-based technologies and bring pilot-scale demonstrations to market. By increasing the supply of biofuels made here in the U.S., we're helping to lower costs for American families, strengthening our energy independence, creating new streams of income for agriculture producers, and bringing good-paying jobs to people in rural communities. That Deputy Ag Secretary Sochil Torres-Small in a release. Here's today's final word. A whole street might lose 90% of the trees all of a sudden. That Beatrice Nabula Berman, UC Cooperative Extension Advisor in Urban Forestry and Natural Resources. Invasive beetles known as shot hole borers have decimated tens of thousands of sycamores, oaks, willows, and other trees in Southern California over the past year, and the beetles have spread to San Jose and Santa Cruz. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, October 30th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.